This is the Jacob Sermon Show, presented by Paul Dovenbarger, Shelter Insurance.
Welcome into the Jacob Sermon Show. We're starting off the week. This is how we're going to be doing it, and I absolutely love this. We start off the week here on this program each and every week with the Jacob Sermon Show. Shout out to our boy Paul Dovenbarger with Shelter Insurance. And in studio, Jacob is joining us, quarterback for the UNC Bears. Listen to that, man. That audience is going crazy. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We'll be looking forward to kind of documenting this season, this first year for Ed Lamb throughout the course of the season. And really, for me, we get to hear from Ed Lamb each and every week, but who else better to hear it from than the quarterback each and every week? And listen, not making excuses or anything, but as I've been compiling the stats and the information and everything the last couple of weeks and coming up this week, of course, or this weekend, it is a difficult schedule to start out for any coach, but a new coach coming into this system. Abilene Christian, who has already proven they're going to be probably a top-tier team throughout the course of this season in the FCS side of things. Incarnate Word, they came in, what, I think they're 10th or whatever. I mean, that's a damn good football team, too. And then Washington State coming up this weekend, Jacob. So a very interesting non-conference schedule for you guys to start things out.
Yeah, it definitely has been. I think, you know, as soon as Ed Lamb came in here, we all decided to step up to the challenge. But there's obviously not roadblocks per se, but growing pains that every new team has and every coaching staff has, and going through some of those adjustments and whatnot while facing really high quality teams is a fantastic opportunity to, you know, put on paper exactly what you need to learn, what you need to work on, what areas of both sides of the ball need to be improved upon. And then kind of tackle those things going into conference play and feeling strong about where you're at.
Well, and this was one of those games, too. And ultimately, the score shows us 42-7. You look at this game, though, there were a lot of opportunities where it felt like if this thing goes the right way here, we get this play, goes all the way through, maybe things are changed up a little. 21-0 at halftime. But still, I think there were moments where I even looked at the score. I was like, it doesn't feel like it's that score at this point.
No, and I got to give a lot of credit to the defense. That's a high-powered offense. They're disappointed if they're not putting up 50 a game.
Yeah,
and I thought their defense did a phenomenal job of keeping us in there, getting three and outs when we needed them. Really showing a lot of courage, standing in some of those difficult positions that they were put in, and giving the ball back to the offense. So can't give them enough credit. I thought they did a phenomenal job, even if the scoreboard doesn't necessarily show that from a casual perspective. If you look at the numbers, you look at the statistics and the three and outs and some of the tough positions they were put in, I thought that really rose to the occasion multiple times.
Angel, of course, was at that game. We were talking about it in the prep before the show, Jacob. And one of the things he caught on, too, he's like, this team, there's not a quit there. There's no quit in this team. And you can see they really believe in what they're building. Now, again, we can talk about this non-conference schedule till we're blue in the face. But there is something there that I think Bears fans, it's important for them to know. There's a few things to build off here in these last two games.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I think of it in a personal manner, if I'm hypocritical or if I'm critical of myself, there's interesting and new looks that we might not see in practice, we might not see in the rest of the season. And there's challenges that each player on the offense has to overcome. And so if I take it, you know, from my perspective only, there's so many things that I can do to play at a higher level, or I can do to make it maybe easier on our left tackle when, you know, I give an extra fake clap, maybe get that backer tilting a little bit. He can get that blitz pre-snap, or I can see we got inside leverage here. I can lead the ball a little bit more outside on a comeback, or things like that where, you know, I'm doing my job, but how much better can I do my job to make other people's jobs easier, if that makes sense?
Well, you as the quarterback, I mean, we talk about that, knowing, got to know everybody's, not just what you're calling out there and what you're having to go through, but you have to know what everybody's assignment is, which is always one of my favorite things about quarterback play, is watching you guys, knowing that that's something you're thinking about too. Obviously, you're thinking about what can I do directly, you know, once the ball is snapped, those kind of things. But you're talking about, hey, what can I do in those pre-play reads and everything that's going to help out even the left tackle in this situation?
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the joys I have in playing quarterback. I've always been a cerebral man, but you knowing what my job is, knowing what every single player on the offense is doing, and then when you start stepping into a realm of what is everyone on the defense doing, and then how can I use my – well, how can I influence and change what they're going to do to best benefit our offense. So if I get a, let's say I get a double option read, I T now the back, he's rolling out, the backer runs in man, now I have a single back in the box. Right? We have option workers working in man coverage, but if I want to work the field option, how can I utilize and move that Mike backer to give him the most space inside? So if I catch a step, look to the boundary for one step, and that opens the backer's hips to the boundary, now our inside slot option runner to the field can work that move, and now he has maybe two more yards of space than he would if I just stared him down the whole time. And so that's a very small detail. I can still throw the ball. He's either going to catch it. But now instead of having get the ball, catch, two steps, now he's making a move on a Mike backer. He's catching the ball, making two steps, and then darting forward because that backer is, you know, open to the boundary. So things like that is challenging because now I have to be confident in every single person's assignment on the offense and then be confident in what the defense is going to do and use that knowledge to obviously influence them. But if I can do that, and I can do it at a higher level, more consistently, more in tune with the, you know, the flow of the game and what the defense might be providing, it gives us more opportunities to potentially make bigger plays just simply by me doing my job a little bit better.
Tiny little things, right? The thing maybe we're not thinking about when we're watching these games and we're seeing how things play out, but it can be that big. Tiny things like that can be that big of a difference in whether a play gets stopped behind the line of scrimmage, gets a first down, or maybe explodes for a big 30-plus yard gain. It's amazing how we say it's a game of inches. Well, sometimes it is a game of inches that if you do it this way, could be a game of big-time yards.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that's not a big, you know, day one install ideology there. But if I want to myself be great, or if I hold myself to a certain standard, why wouldn't I try to be, you know, 1% better every day and use those more complicated, maybe more cerebral kind of concepts and try to put them into fruition?
How much does that change? You and I were just talking about how quick it goes, how fast. I mean, here we are. We're already looking at week three for you guys coming up against Washington State. Mm-hmm. We always talk about getting through summer practice, fall practice, all that stuff. And then, okay, we just want to get out there and we want to hit somebody else. We want to go up against an opponent. But you want to get that film. You know, you want to get that. You're seeing each other play in practice all the time, and that's one thing. But a lot of times the defense kind of knows what you're up to. You know what the defense is up to. So now that you've got 2 weeks of film, does it make it that much easier for you guys to go, this is exactly what we're doing wrong every single play?
Absolutely. I think there's definitely some circumstances there. However, there's also on the flip side of that, each play is unique depending on the defense it faces. So we have different rules. We have different assignments. And so to have a consistent measurable against this consistent defense is tough because, you know, each team we play, even if they run a similar coverage, might have different individual techniques or assignments that will alter, you know, what certain players will do on each play.
We do want folks to chime in if they have questions on our First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043, the Weld County Suwamish texting in. Does having a chance to be a part of the team that could start the turnaround for this program, does that drive you? Is that something that really drives you?
It's a great question. It has. I've had five head coaches and seven offensive coordinators, and I've been part of rebuilds. I've been part of high-quality championship teams. And no matter what the team starts off as, I feel very blessed and grateful to be in position to even be considered a leader, be considered an integral part of that team, and then use whatever God-given abilities I have to try to glorify him and lead as many people as I can.
I love that answer, too, because, again, it's not easy for 50% of the teams, maybe more than that, that right now to start their season. They're looking at it going, man, this didn't start off the way we wanted to. But when you can go back to that drawing board and you can try to figure that out, I don't even want to say going back to the drawing board. You're going up against some elite teams. I would say it's fair to say Abilene Christian and Incarnate Word playoff teams. I mean, are we probably pretty confident in that at this point?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you got playoff teams there. Washington State in the Pac-12 swan song is like a legitimate program right
absolutely,
now.
Absolutely.
All they did was just come up with a monster win over the weekend. So is this how you want it, though? Is it you want like a new coach? You've been doing this, but a new coach with this system, not a new coach overall. Do you want to see, hey, let's go up against the absolute best? You got some of the absolute best at the FCS side of things. Maybe Washington State is going to be one of the absolute best. I don't know where they'll end up, but they're in the top 25 right now. Is that what you want? Let's go up against some of the top teams in the country and see where we are. Then by the time the Big Sky Conference schedule starts up on September 23rd, we know a heck of a lot about ourselves where perhaps maybe the conference schedule just isn't quite as difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's some phenomenal points there. And I agree. You know, I think I would consider myself a lot of things, but I've never been scared of an opponent. You know, I remember my first start in college, I played Mizzou. Mm. That was a quality team. My third start ever was at LSU. We traveled down there on a day. It was a hurricane day, so all the hotels were full of people that had been evacuated from their families and from their houses. So we flew down there, stopped at a hotel lobby, sat around for about an hour or two, and then ran out on the field. And I remember I was, you know, not nervous. I wasn't even nervous. I was prepared. I watched the film. I knew exactly what was going to go down. But there was never an inkling of fear or doubt in my mind. And I give a lot of that credit to my faith and my belief that I'm exactly where God needs me to be. And I'm a vessel for Him to, you know, whatever I'm doing, whatever good or bad, I'm exactly where He needs me to be. And so I can be a vessel of, you know, glorify Him, whatever I do. But there's also a lot of confidence in myself that I've put a lot of work into my craft. I've been a lot of work into the film, to leadership qualities that I hope will bring people along as we kind of go through ups and downs. And so starting off with this quality schedule, I think it provides myself and other good leaders on the team opportunities to say, listen, this is what we're about. This is what our standard is going to be. Win or lose, our preparation stays the same. Our toughness stays the same. And there's a lot of integral qualities and values that I think can really come to light when things are hard. And if you can get through those things, I think it only makes you stronger, you know, when you come on the other side.
I think with your mindset too, it makes football, obviously this is what you love to do and it's a grind to do it. But with that mindset that you have, when you are looking at your faith and what drives you on that side of things, it does kind of, does it take the pressure off kind of?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I can think of so many times in my career. We have a chapel on Sundays before games, Saturdays before games. And our theme this week was, you know, when you ask yourself, why me, it's why not you, you know? And I feel like I felt myself a lot of times in my career thinking to myself, well, why me, man? Why does our head coach have to retire? Why does our OC get fired? Why is this or that, you know? And as I've matured, I think my mindset is switching to more why not me. And with that becomes a lot of freedom, you know? The doubts, the fears, the whatever you might think, if you just surrender those up and give them to God, to me at least, it just presents me with so much freedom and peace to go out there and live my life or play my game with trust that He's going to, you know, provide and put me where I need to be.
Jacob Sermon in studio, the quarterback for the UNC Bears. This is the Jacob Sermon Show. We'll be doing this every single Monday. And I love it because, again, talking to football players and coaches is always great. But I love talking to the quarterback because it's the one I don't understand a lot about positions in football. I love it so much. But quarterback to me is mind-boggling. How you guys go about your business, knowing what you have to do when that ball is snapped. The ball's always in your hands. Even if you're handing that ball off, you are trying to figure out those pre-snap reads, and I think it's fascinating. What is the locker room like right now? What's the group like right now? As you said, with Ed Lamb leading this team, how important is that for you as a leader and Coach Lamb to really stay together and continue to say, hey, that was tough go, not the way we wanted it for those first couple of games, but there is a lot, and we mean a lot of football left to go. So how important is that for the leaders to step up on this team?
Absolutely. I think every good team has the leaders that step up in those moments. But I think what opportunities like this really show you is the guys that may be on the fringe or the guys that aren't certain if they want to take that step into leadership, or they're not certain if, you know, they're qualified to speak up at a time or show someone with actions. It gives them really important opportunities to say, listen, this is a team that can pivot and decide which way you want to go. And it's not a one moment, it's snap your fingers and now we're winning, we're losing. It's a continual spectrum of individual choices amongst the entire team, whether we're going to buy in, whether we're going to add the extra film, whether we're going to put the extra five on the plates and finish a practice strong or finish a lift strong. And so it's easy for leaders to be like, no, listen, I'm going to do it this way. But for the guys that not that they're not bought in, but they're uncertain or they're their first season in college football, or this is their first year having a role on a team, it gives them great opportunities to step up as well. And that's what I'm excited to see as this team continues to mature and develop, what that, you know, additional leadership looks like amongst the team.
Coming up this weekend, the UNC Bears will go up against Washington State. We'll talk a little bit about that matchup as well. Get some of your thoughts on overall. There's some big stories, too, surrounding the college world, here locally, of course, surrounding the first weekend in the NFL. We're not done yet. We got a Monday night game coming up with the Jets and the Bills. So I want to get some of your thoughts on that, maybe in this next segment, and then we'll start kind of previewing what to expect with this Washington State team. Jacob, always appreciate you jumping in, my friend. 21 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, let's take a quick break. It is the Jacob Sermon Show, presented by Paul Dovenbarger at Shelter Insurance. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Buffs, the Rams, the rivalry continues. Hear our thoughts on the Rocky Mountain Showdown on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Matt Gaeter, color commentator for UNC Bears football and former UNC offensive lineman. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Take it easy. That's probably a good theme for this UNC Bears team right now. Take it easy. First 2 weeks, monster schedule, not the way you wanted it to go, but that's the beauty. We're not even into the Big Sky Conference schedule yet, Jacob. So the Jacob Sermon Show here rolls on a Monday morning. And we do thank Paul Dovenbarger at Shelter Insurance for making this possible. And one of the things that I love about these shows is, yes, we're going to talk about the games and the wins, the losses, the upcoming opponent and everything, too. But kind of to pick your brain as far as a student athlete and what you're paying attention to. Do you, like, a lot of times you'll talk to football players and it's either they follow everything football, they like everything, not just their stuff, but they follow everything. Or they're like, no, I'm so dialed in on what we're doing, I'm not paying attention as much to the NFL schedule or other teams outside in the college football world. Where do you line up when it comes to that stuff? Are you paying attention?
I'm probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I definitely don't. I feel like I have so much football in my life, I don't just sit around religiously.
It's not relaxed. It's probably not like a relaxing.
No, I mean, I'm watching the quarterback play, thinking, oh man, read the safety. Oh, and they missed that. Or
so it's just stressful, it's just like, for you.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously I'm watching NFL, and these guys are years ahead of me as far as experience and whatnot. But I still feel like I know what they're thinking a little bit, and I can understand some of the frustrations or some of the highlight moments that they're feeling. So that's fun. I mean, if I'm with my guys and we're playing some poker or we're hanging out, watching, making dinner or whatever, and the TV's on, I'm eagerly watching it. But I'm not in my room, locked doors, three screens on, watching every game possible.
But you're paying attention to stuff going on around the area, even if you're not, diving all in. Locally, we see Wyoming and Portland State. That was an interesting game, and I think that matters to you for several reasons. Obviously, somewhat local. We kind of call Wyoming somewhat local. But the Portland State thing, that's what, from 1 week to the next, things can be crazy. Portland State's given up 81 points to Oregon, and then we're thinking, Wyoming's not going to score 81, but it's going to be a bloodbath there. It wasn't a bloodbath. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was 31-17, and it felt like Portland State almost scored again to make that thing really interesting. That right there just shows you from 1 week to the next, it's not all gloom and doom. You can make the necessary changes, and sometimes it can be little changes that really pay off in a big way.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's a theme throughout college football, NFL football. These other teams strap up the pads just like you do, and they have to execute their plays, and they have to tackle, they have to catch, they have to make throws. And so, you do your preparation, and you show out there with your maximum effort and your game plan that you're proud of. Really, anything can happen.
We've got another question coming in here from the 954. That could be anywhere. Where is that, Jacob?
That could be
anywhere. Question for Jacob Sermon. Please ask him to assess your wide receiver room after two games.
Yeah. We have a lot of depth. I think there's a lot of playmakers in there. As a quarterback, my job, I can always make them easier. I can make it easier on them, catching the ball, giving them better balls. And I think our coaches are doing a phenomenal job of getting them in positions to make, make the big plays.
Okay. Well, Jacob Sermon joining us in studio here. If you guys do have questions, shoot us a text on our First Advantage hotline, 888-530-0043. What did anything else stand out to you over the weekend as far? I mean, we got CU playing Nebraska. Apparently, that was a pretty interesting game. The NFL side of things, the Broncos lost to the Raiders. That was a rough go.
Mm-hmm.
Kicking, again, little things, small things. Missed extra point, missed field goal. But I know you're kind of rooting for Russ, kind of a Russ guy because of your background and where you're from and everything.
Yeah, he was a So when I was at University of Washington, he was obviously with the Seahawks, and he had a he ran a Bible study through on campus at UW. So we'd have a lot of the Seahawks players, and then the student athletes at Washington would come. There's a church on campus. And him and Sierra would lead a Bible study every Wednesday night. So I was able to come pretty close to them. I trained with his personal trainer throughout high school and
really?
Early college.
Wow, that's really
so
cool.
So I can't say, I mean, I know well, but I mean, I spent a year of my time every Wednesday, you know, Bible, you know, worshiping with him and listening to some of his thoughts on Christianity and how God's worked in his life. And so I've always been a fan of who he is as a person and the product he puts on the field. So root for him is something that I've, you know, will always, you know, hang on there. And then the Seahawks as well. I'm a, you know, growing up in Seattle and working out with all those same guys through high school and the COVID year throwing for them, will always, you know, have a root for them in my own way.
There was an interesting, felt bad for Geno, man. I don't know, Angel, if you can find the clip, but Aaron Donald's coming at him.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
There's sometimes that's all you can do, right? Oh, a big dude coming at you with that kind of God-given athletic ability, all you can do is just be like, oh, crap. Here it comes.
I've had my fair share of oh, crap moments sitting back in the pocket like, oh, this is going to hurt.
I mean, I feel like that would be, you do have it? Do you have, oh, okay, I thought you gave me the look there. Crazy sometimes. Like, I would imagine that would happen all the time. If I were me, every play would be like, oh, man, that's terrible, you know, out loud. Let's see. Question here coming in. Returning to Washington, relationship with your family. Just want to kind of know what that's like, yeah. You know, for you to have that chance to go kind of back home, so to speak.
Absolutely. My family just moved to Missoula, Montana 2 summers ago, so they live in Montana now. My little brother committed to U of M, so when we play that Montana game, I'm really excited about that.
Heck yeah.
I have a lot of high school friends that play at Montana still. That we were, you know, same league, same rivals. So I'm thrilled about that game. Washington State was another one. Growing up, you know, that was a rivalry that was pretty, you know, thick through, you know, my time at Washington. So I'm excited. I think the stadium's awesome. The fans there are really fun. It's a great environment. I've, you know, spent plenty of years playing against Washington State. So going up there, feeling comfortable in that stadium, being around my family and my, you know, it's right up in the neck of the woods. So I'm thrilled. I can't wait. And they have a good program, but it's a fun location. It's a fun, you know, fan base. It's a fun everything up there.
So that's kind of a texture along the same lines. Is there extra motivation to play that game? Of course, being from Washington, being a former Husky, all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there always is. And I'm not one to put up bulletin board material, and they're a great team. And I don't think any one team per se, each week I'm more or less motivated than. But, you know, With the history of that rivalry, graduate from Washington and that situation, I'm obviously always excited to, you know, play the Cougs.
Yeah, well, and this is the year. I mean, this is an interesting year for them. The entire Pac-12 thing is just crazy to me. I mean, this is the last year, we think, for the Pac-12. There's two teams left, Washington State being one of them.
Yeah.
But look at all these Pac-12 teams just going out, winning big game after big game. This is kind of how it... We don't know anything until football starts, right? And this is kind of it. Everybody's writing the Pac-12 off, and now all these teams they're going out and winning big games left and right. Washington State being one of them, pulling off a crazy upset win over Wisconsin over the weekend.
Yeah, it's a quality conference. I mean, I look back at my time in that conference fondly. Learned a lot of football. Learned from some phenomenal players, some great coaches, and so I think a lot of my success and my, you know, journey can be credited to some lessons I learned in that conference.
Well, let's talk about Washington State coming up next. That quarterback of theirs, Cameron Ward, certainly showing some great things overall with him. That defense played extremely well against Wisconsin, giving up just 22 points there. So we'll get your thoughts kind of initially as you guys are breaking into more and more Cougars talk here. So Jacob Sermon continues with us. It's the Jacob Sermon Show presented by Paul Dovenbarger at Shelter Insurance. Great sponsor, great partner here of the program. More with Jacob Sermon coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the Jacob Sermon Show, presented by Paul Dovenbarger at Shelter Insurance. The Bears going up against Washington State this weekend, and for several reasons. Washington State played Colorado State the week before. Want to see what this team's like, and then of course we know we're going to have another local-ish matchup with UNC going to Washington State next weekend, and the Cougars just went out and found a way to beat a team coming in at 19, I believe. What was Wisconsin before that game? Were they 19? Something like that. And Washington State gets the dub, 31-22. Quarterback play, I think Cameron Ward's a solid player. He had 212 yards, two touchdowns, 43 yards rushing. But defensively, this is a really good team. We talked a lot about their edge rushers, this defensive line for them. And they did enough, man. They were getting, even if they weren't getting sacks, they were putting pressure on the quarterback. And Wisconsin only scored 22 points in this game. So that you know, just kind of looking at this team as you're breaking into it more and more, you're paying attention obviously more to that defensive side of the ball. What kind of sticks out to you so far?
Yeah, I think their edge rushers are quality. They have a sturdy foundation. I mean, their scheme is going to be gap sound. They're going to play smart defense and let their playmakers shine. As an offensive, just you know, ideology or whatever, you want to take what the defense gives you and do your best to highlight the offensive playmakers and give them chances to make their plays.
How do you approach a game like this? Is it just like business as usual? This is just another game, or is it like, hey, you kind of know this? This team might go on. They're a ranked team now, mm-hmm. and the FBS side of things. Who knows, man, where it all ends up. They could be a team right there in the thick of it when it gets down to this Pac-12 schedule for them. Do you really just try to say, no, this is just an – I mean, obviously there's local ties for you too, but how important is it for you to just try to say, no, this is kind of just a different – this is not really a different game. It's just a game.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the way I approach it at least. They're a quality team. And every team we're going to play is going to be quality. They're going to have players that are going to flash. They're going to have good scheme. They're going to have, you know, whatever their advantages are. And it's our job to try to highlight their weaknesses and then any way we can possibly exploit those.
Got a texter coming in. Just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on true freshman center at this point with Jack Zeebel. Your thoughts there. Just kind of give us something.
Yeah, man. I mean, I wish the everyday people that haven't necessarily been around a college football team or even been around offensive linemen, the strength and the maturity it takes for a true freshman to play football, let alone start at center, is just it speaks a lot to him. I mean, that's the quarterback of the O-line. He's making the calls. He IDs the fronts. He IDs the backer. He's making shifts. He's telling the guards and tackles, you know, their responsibilities. And then as well, snapping the ball accurately and then engaging a 300-man, you know, a guy that's 4 or 5 years older than him. There's a lot that goes into that. And the way he's playing, you know, there's learning lessons for everyone. And there's obviously going to be kind of a growing curve, you know, starting early in your career. But that guy's going to be a really great player for a long time to come.
What's your relationship like with Jack? I mean, he's, as being a true freshman, but also he's your center. I mean, you rely on him for everything to get this thing started off on the right foot. Well, what is your relationship like with him? Do you find it where it's like, I really want to work with him even more and more off the field as well?
Yeah. I mean, I think our offensive line group is great. He's a guy that fits right into the kind of culture and the work ethic that I would argue that unit, you know, takes pride in. And so for the way he's playing and the physicality that he brings to the game is something that you don't see very often in young players like that.
Yeah. Jacob Sermon Show continues on here as they're getting set. It's early in the week here, of course, on a Monday, but we know Washington State coming up for this team later this weekend. And this is your last non-conference game of the schedule already. Is that right? Isn't that crazy how fast it goes? And then you jump into the Big Sky portion of your schedule. But what would you like to see as you round out this non-conference portion of the schedule going up against a very, very tough Washington State team?
Yeah. I think Washington State's going to make their plays. They have playmakers. They have guys recruited to the Pac-12 level for a reason. But from an offensive perspective for UNC, I think we can control what we can control. Let's not shoot ourselves in the foot. Let's take some of the mental errors or some of the pre-snap or post-snap penalties, take those out of play and say, listen, if we execute and put together this drive, there's going to be stops. They're going to have big plays and they're going to have playmakers make their plays. But I would argue we have playmakers as well. And we have guys that have played at that level. We have guys that I think can play at that level. And so how do we highlight those offensive playmakers and how do we execute drives without shooting ourselves in the foot, I think is a big theme, at least for me, in my production and my preparation.
How difficult is that, too? Because you hear that. You hear people say, hey, we can't hurt ourselves. It's already a difficult enough game, especially with an opponent like Washington State. What are the things that you can mentally do to prepare for that where you're not shooting yourself in the foot?
It's hard. I mean, you see it often in the first 3 weeks of college football. There's these freak, you know, people blow up scores, and it might be, you know, a defensive touchdown, a special teams play, an offense clicking, or the vice versa, and it's really low-scoring, tight games with mistakes on either side. I think there's a lot of growth that comes along with offense and the coaching staff, identifying what your strengths are, how to best utilize your playmakers. And so there's a lot of things that go hand-in-hand with players and coaches. And there's also, like, preparation. I feel like I am, you know, when I go out on the field on a Saturday, my first snap, I know exactly what I'm going to see. And when they show me something different, I know exactly what I'm going to see that might be different. And that level of preparation kind of spanning across every position and that level of confidence. When you can step on the field with pure confidence and you know, okay, man, I've watched the film. I've seen their tendencies. I know what looks they should give to this formation. Our tight end's at the ball. That safety should drive down on a backside run action. These are things that I see and I know, and as our offense kind of matures and we understand that on every single level across, you know, every single position, playing with that confidence leaves you without, you know, the doubt you might have, or it gives you less opportunities to second doubt yourself, question yourself, and then, you know, let your instincts kick in to where now you're making mistakes or you're trying to make up for, oh, I missed that block, I'm going to grab him just 1 second longer. And you start getting those holdings or hands to the face or drops or, you know, things like that that might hurt a drive.
How much do you think, like, your guys are, you talked about some of these big opponents you've gone up against, LSU, I mean, these big, big teams. Mm-hmm. How much do you think you need to be there? Now, obviously, you're the leader on this, one of the leaders on this team. But in specifically about this kind of a matchup where it's going to be a big crowd and all that stuff, how much do you think your teammates are going to be leaning on you to kind of talk to them and say, hey, I know it's going to be a big-time feel when you get out there and stuff, but at the end of the day, it's a football game. How much of that do you think you're going to be doing throughout the course of the week as far as those conversations go?
Yeah, I'm going to try to do my best. I don't like to, you know, bring up my past too much. I'm kind of
in the now mode.
I am where I am for a reason. And, you know, my time at Washington, my time starting against LSU, these are things that I take great pride in. But at the end of the day, I'm at going to UNC, and I'm proud to do that. And so the lessons or the takeaways I would try to offer to people that haven't played in those situations or games is it's the same thing. They strap up the helmet the same as you do. The only difference is the production. It's a whole Hollywood theater production rather than it might be we have great coverage at our games, but they'll have 50 different cameras, whether we might have, you know, however many we might have, or they'll have their fan base is bigger or their stadium holds more people, but the turf is the same, the ball is the same, the players line up and they're same, you know. It can get overwhelming if you let it, and then if you can just take away what's necessary, it just becomes fun. I mean, every college football player hopefully dreams about playing in big games, and you find yourself with the opportunity to play in a big stadium against a good team. At least to me, that's a great opportunity.
Jacob Sermon, one last question for you. What have you learned about your head coach at this point? Obviously, you know a heck of a lot about Ed Lamb. You guys have been together a lot this last several months, but now that we've got some games under our belt and everything, thoughts on Coach Ed Lamb at this point?
Yeah, I think he is who he is, and he is who he says he is, which in college football can be rare. There's a lot of not politics, but there's a lot of outside influences that every head coach has to feel and has to navigate. And I think he does a great job of being authentic to the team and being true to his word and who he is as a coach and who he is as a person. And I think that's a thing that I think everyone on the team and community, if you ever have a chance to get to know him, it's easy to respect.
I think that's the big thing so far about Coach Lamb is I just think he's a likable guy. I think he is just one of those guys where I just envision him picking up that lunch pail, going to work, man. Mm-hmm. Just getting up early, going to work. And I think ultimately that work's going to pay off for all of you guys, you know, getting to know you a little bit more, Jacob, and kind of how you're viewing this game. The beauty of this thing is the long schedule, long season. I don't know that the rest of the schedule, again, not to take away from the Big Sky, we know how good the Big Sky Conference is, but you got Abilene Christian, Incarnate Word, Washington State, all three of those teams have big, big goals in mind. So you're getting some of the best right now, and mm-hmm. I think that that is a great learning experience for the University of Northern Colorado.
Absolutely.
Jacob, my man, anything else we want to get out there before we let you go?
I don't think so.
Well, hey, we wish you the best of luck going up against Washington State. When are you guys heading out? What's the travel plan look like?
Should head out Friday mid-morning or so.
Get a little bit of chance to see some family and catch up with folks, or what does that look like?
Hopefully. I think my brother has a game Friday night, so they'll hustle over either Saturday morning or if they're around. My sister lives in Spokane, so I'll probably be able to see her and catch up a little before the game, and then obviously talk a lot after the game.
I love it, man. Well, have fun this weekend, and tell the family we said hello here from KFKA. That game, of course, will be on KFKA, the Blue and Gold pregame show. We got 3 o'clock on that one, right? Mm-hmm. Start pregame show starts at 2 o'clock, so we'll be looking forward to Blake and Matt Gator's call on that one coming up this weekend. Jacob, my man, always a pleasure to catch up with you, my friend. Appreciate it, sir. All right, we'll talk to you next week, okay?
Thank you.
Jacob Sermon, the quarterback for the Blue and Gold, for those UNC Bears. They're going up against ranked number 23 in the country right now, Washington State. 48 minutes after the hour. We will continue on. We'll get to the good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend that was here on the whole show, powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The Buffs, the Rams, the rivalry continues. Hear our thoughts on the Rocky Mountain Showdown on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
A little breaking news on this Monday morning. Something kind of saw coming. On the Colorado State side of things, we've got a new quarterback, a new starting quarterback. Kevin Lytle of the Coloradoan reports that Braden Fowler-Nicolosi will start against Colorado. Jay Norvell announced today. I'm guessing that was during his press conference. Okay, there's a lot to unpack here. I got to be real honest. Like, we're going to go 2.5 quarters is enough. That's it. That's all you needed to see from Clay Millen was 2.5 quarters, and that's going to be it. Not even I don't know. Was there a competition last week? Did we open that up? I hadn't heard anything about that after Jay Norvell kind of said it was, for lack of a, you know, more or less on him and his coaching staff for wanting to ease into the offense, the Fort Air Raid offense, which I thought they were doing. And again, I know I have a relationship with Clay Millen. Of course, we do stuff with Clay. But I'm watching that game, trying to be as critical as I possibly can, and it was a very predictable offense in the first half. I didn't feel like there were any – the play calls were designed to get anybody into a rhythm in that first half. Clay throws the pick six, gets hurt after that to start the third, and you pull him. Okay, I thought that was interesting, but – you wanted to see what you had there. I thought, you know, again, this isn't like a knock on Braden Fowler-Nicolosi. I'm going to be rooting for that guy just like I'd be rooting for Clay. But you're going with that guy. That's your starter. And you're going to basically take one game against the top 23 team in the country now in Washington State. And that's it. One half of football, essentially, to decide that Clay Millen's not the guy going forward. Are there cracks in this a little bit? I mean, I've been a Jay Norvell supporter through and through, but this is for the first time I'm kind of going, huh. Now, I don't know if Clay's going to turn out to be a great quarterback. I'm not sure. I thought it was an interesting sign that he wasn't voted a team captain, and that turns out to maybe have a little more legs than we thought, or that we kind of thought maybe it could, I guess.
Well, I think it's interesting you bring up where Washington State's ranked at right now and where they're at. As a team.
Yeah.
And then if you go back to that week one, Braden looked better against a top 25 team.
But the
granted, the defense was different in that late game. And
prevent
the play
defense,
calling was different.
Backup cornerbacks, play calling's different.
Sure. But in terms, as a coaching point, I look at execution. I look at attitude on the field.
You mean the interception he threw into double coverage on a 5-yard?
Yes.
On a 5-yard play?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But also touchdowns. How does he run the huddle? Does the O-line look confused after they break the huddle? Are they making a lot of checks afterwards? You know, little things like that you want to see from a quarterback. And whether or not Clay or Braden do that, is that's up to the coaches to decide that. But to your original point, this is a very much Jay Norvell decision.
Right.
It's going to be put on him whether or not this works.
Too soon, though. No, not at all. 2.5 quarters against a top 25 team in the country now, and that's enough to tell you that Clay's not the guy. Everything changed.
I don't know if it's enough to say he's not the guy. I think it's enough to say, hey, Braden might be worth a look.
Against the Buffs.
If they're a top 25 team, what's the difference between them and Washington State? If Washington State and CU played this weekend, who's winning?
Washington State.
Okay.
But why make the change now? Well, let's see what he has.
Because you have a week to get ready. You have 2 weeks off with barely any film on Braden.
But you had 5 weeks to get ready for the Washington State game. Sure. I mean, if you weren't confident in Clay from the get-go, my only point is, why go with him week one? Clearly, they weren't confident in him. They weren't running any kind of air raid offense that I've ever seen in that first half against Washington State. So why go with the guy in the first place? If that's the kind of offense you're going to throw out there. And listen, Braden's a gunslinger. He's got probably more of that killer instinct. Maybe. And I've had a lot of people asking me the question because I've been defensive of Clay and everything. And not just because of what we do with him. And I'll have some thoughts on that as we go forward here personally. But people have said, well, why are you defending Clay nonstop? Well, I'm defending Clay because they got him to transfer over from Nevada to be the starting quarterback here. So clearly they believed in him. They believed in him to start. Now he's on the bench after 2.5 quarters of football. That's it. That's enough. Okay. There's some cracks there. Jay Norvell for the first time, in my opinion. Hugh Millen coming up next.